Joining us on the Trocare College Live Line, tech reporter Mike Dubusky with a look at all the tech-related things in the Republican spending bill. Mike, I wanted to start with something that we saw happen overnight when it comes to AI regulation, the Senate voting almost unanimously to strip that provision that would have stopped states, including New York, which has been trying to do it, from regulating AI for 10 years. So what happened and what does it mean?
Yeah, so this was known as the AI moratorium. It was a provision in the Senate bill written by Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee and Ted Cruz of Texas. And the idea was that it was going to impose a temporary pause on state-level AI regulation. States going forward for a set period of time would not be able to pass laws related to artificial intelligence. And it would preempt legislation that has already passed. In New York State, where we are right now, about 10 pieces of legislation would be affected, effectively preempted, taken off the books by this legislation in the Senate bill if it were to pass. The idea in favor of this measure, guys, was that lawmakers and many in the AI space wanted to prevent a patchwork from emerging across the country of different legislation that would be very difficult for AI companies to navigate, maybe conflicting laws in different states that would prompt, confusion, and you'll have to get lawyers involved and whatnot. And that ultimately would hinder the development of artificial intelligence at a moment when we cannot take our feet off the gas, right? This is a race with China to develop super intelligent AI, and having these complicated laws that maybe conflict with each other across the country would be a burden to that. That was the idea in favor of this measure. However, there were a lot of critics to the AI moratorium, many of them Democrats, but many of them Republicans as well. Recently, 17 Republican governors wrote to Majority Leader John Thune and House Speaker Mike Johnson calling for the AI moratorium to be taken out of the bill. Even in the AI space, there was opposition. Dario Amodei, who is the head of Anthropic, wrote in an op-ed that this measure was effectively a blunt instrument. It was way too broad that gave us the worst of both worlds, both no ability for states to act quickly to regulate this quickly developing technology, and no federal policy to act as a backstop, because, of course, there is no federal regulation of artificial intelligence as it stands right now. It appears that all of that opposition was enough to strip this from the final text of the Republican spending package, with Marsha Blackburn, again, one of the authors of this particular provision, saying that until Congress passes federally preemptive legislation like the Kids Online Safety Act and an online policy framework, we can't block states from making laws that protect their citizens.
All right, this legislation being debated also includes the electric vehicle tax credit, which has been very attractive to buyers of EVs. Where does that stand?
Yeah, so as of right now, that is still in this package of legislation. For a little bit of a history lesson here, guys, going back to 2008, the federal government has incentivized the purchase of a new electric vehicle, basically giving you a little bit of a tax credit if you buy a new EV or later in the process, a used EV as well. Up to $7,500 off the cost of a new electric vehicle from the federal government and up to $4,000 off the cost of a used EV. And there are a number of leasing provisions as well that were included. Under the current text of this law, if it passes as it stands right now, the EV tax credit would go away after 180 days. And the leasing provisions that we talked about would go away immediately. So effectively what this sets up, guys, is if this particular piece of the bill passes, then there's effectively a race in the automotive sector, both from the manufacturer perspective, the dealer perspective, and the consumer perspective, to take advantage of this credit. If you're in the market for an EV, like the next 180 days are going to be crucial to take advantage of that $7,500. In addition, you can mix that federal credit with a state level credit. In New York, you get an additional $2,000 off the cost of a new electric vehicle. That's almost 10 grand off the cost of a new car, a new electric vehicle. And that's especially important given that electric vehicles are, on average, a little bit more expensive than their gas counterparts.
Yeah, it's been a big incentive for a lot of people and could be going away. I mean, what is this, like the trickle-down effect here of what this means for states like, say, New York? So we have a mandate right now that by 2035, 10 years from now, every new car sold at a dealership has to be zero emissions, which is pretty much EV. You know, there's some other options, but it's probably going to be mostly EV. If people don't have that extra incentive to buy the EV, I mean, 10 years is a long time, a lot can happen by then, but are some of these other mandates really going to be able to take place?
Yeah, it's a really great question. The bottom line here, guys, is that EVs are going to get more expensive if this particular piece of the legislation passes. Now, for what it's worth, under the current text of the EV tax credit, these incentives were set to go away towards the end of 2025 and into 2026, depending on, you know, where the car is built and where the manufacturer is in terms of its EV development. But of course, those incentives could be renewed right down the line. So like there was already some thinking about how to restructure this particular tax credit, but under this current text, it would go away entirely. And you look at companies that have really benefited from this to kind of lower the barrier for entry to the electric vehicle space. Tesla is chief among them, right? Like they were one of the early movers in the electric vehicle space, and developing an entirely new propulsion technology is inevitably going to be transferred over to the consumer in terms of cost. Electric vehicles cost more than their gas counterparts. However, that sort of distance between those two average prices has been shrinking, guys, and that's another important piece of this. Used to be that the average cost of a new electric vehicle was between $65,000 and $70,000 compared to about $50,000 for the cost of a new car. Well, the cost of a new car on average has been going up, and the cost of a new EV on average has been going down. We think they're now about $55,000 on average. So, you know, even still, you know, that still does mean that cars are going to get more expensive. Consumers are going to feel it in their pocketbooks if this tax credit goes away and they're in the market for an EV. But, you know, that also means that, you know, it's maybe not going to be as big of an issue because we are seeing those prices start to come down a little bit, at least in the new EV space. Hey,
there's some new info about Trump Mobile, which we heard about just a few weeks ago, a new mobile service provider. What have you learned?
Yeah, so 2 weeks ago, the Trump Organization announced a mobile phone network called Trump Mobile. And as part of that announcement, they announced a smartphone called the T1. And it made some big impressions in Silicon Valley in the tech world. They said this was going to be an Android smartphone that was going to go for $500. And it was going to be built in America. It was going to be built in the USA. That caused many in the tech world to raise their eyebrows. There's no real infrastructure for that in the United States. There's no mainstream smartphones that are built here. And it seems that a lot of that skepticism, guys, was warranted, because in recent days, we've seen the language on the website for this phone change from made in the USA to proudly American. And of course, the background here is that the FTC very stringently regulates the term made in America. Many companies have been sued for lying or for misleading the public about where their products are made. Right now, as it stands, if not all or virtually all of your product is not made in the US, you can face penalties for that. So Trump Mobile is softening its language around where they're going to build this phone. There are also a handful of other changes to this device as well. For example, the screen is now smaller. It used to be a 6.8-inch screen that they were quoting. Now it is a 6.2-inch screen.
Interesting. All right. Mike, thank you as always. Mike Dubusky.